Well, good morning, everybody. Looking forward to sharing and hearing from another employer as part of our employer series. And a little bit later, you'll hear about a new employer program that we have announced and are launching shortly. But with that, I want to provide a little bit of context. Some of you may not have heard much about what we're up to, and also one of the things that I've done over the last decade, and particularly the last several years, is really go around the country, find folks who kind of crack the code of how to sort of slay the healthcare cost beast and do it while improving benefits for employees. And what we talk about is our purpose is empowering community-owned health plans. And we define community broadly. A community can be an employer, like Dan Marine Towing. It can be a union, could be a place-based, but it's really kind of taking ownership rather than just having a renter's mindset and passing off to somebody who may or may not provide a great job. These are organizations who really lived the reality of if employees are your most valuable asset, which every CEO says, then you should really have great benefits because you want to steward that asset. And one of the things that we've observed is one is a common sense. Health doesn't start in a pill, doesn't start in a hospital, starts at home, starts local. That's why you see some of these images this week, release this book, which I have upside down, called Relocalizing Health, that really gets into that. And you can get a free download of the PDF and go on Amazon and purchase it if you want. But it talks about this stuff in more detail. So one of the things that particularly with COVID, that's put a big strain on our entire economy, many employers, and we put together this kind of five-step process that really not everybody takes it in the same order by any means, but it really spells out local. And we're going to step through that. That's also going to be how we structure some of the questions and discussion in a minute. With the Dan Marine Towing folks. So first step is all about mindset shift. Nothing happens without mindset shift. Unfortunately, a lot of people have been led to believe that you can't tackle healthcare. It's just kind of one of these out of control things. That's just not true. Of course, the people who would like to profit from you potentially believing that in the past would like you to believe it's too complex, but it's not. The second piece, is really about the underpinnings of a plan. It's one of the core reason why we launched our advisor accreditation program for benefits advisors is I always got asked, what's the first thing you need to do? First thing you need to do if you're going to embark on this journey is get the right advisor. And so about 1,500 benefits brokers and consultants have started the process. 214 have made it through. So it's about 15-20% typically. And there are some other things that are also in the underpinning of the plan. The third step, very low-hanging fruit, is carving out pharmacy benefit manager. Unfortunately, there's a lot of shenanigans going on there. There's easy savings to be had, and it can kind of help fund the virtuous cycle. The A in local is add value-based primary care. We know that there's no well-functioning healthcare system not built on proper primary care. We certainly have done a great job in this country of destroying primary care over the last 20 years. So we're now building it back brick by brick. In some communities like Tyler, Texas, Seattle, Denver, it's well on its way. Other places, it's still underway. And then the final piece is leaving behind value extracting PPO networks. PPOs may made sense at one time. Unfortunately, they've become value extraction devices, and there's great alternatives to that. We'll talk a little about that in a minute. So just stepping through that, again, the old way is when I was coming up with a new plan is work away, try to come up with some magic solution that's going to pay off. Often it didn't, and there's been a lot of attempts at this. But as you step through this process, we have case studies. This model is working in every corner of the country, rural, urban, private, public companies, large and small. We've got tons of case studies. The important thing here is you get these kind of savings. Four of the five steps that we're talking about are invisible to the member, or only clearly a positive. And so a lot of people have been led to believe this is going to be disruptive. It can be. And some steps have the possibility of doing that. But a lot of what we suggest is take a stepwise approach, and it can be clearly a very positive situation. So that's the L and local, you know, you kind of get this step stair approach. And then the O that I mentioned is infrastructure. So we have this advisor compensation disclosure. We found up to 17 undisclosed revenue streams that employers had no idea about. We have an advisor code of conduct. We have a plan sponsor bill of rights. If you're new to this industry, these would seem kind of like motherhood and apple pie, but unfortunately they're not the norm. And there's some savings to be had here. Like Copper State, they saved $1,000 per employee per year by being really rigorous on this. But the key here is this is what unlocks the rest of things. If you don't get the underpinnings right, you can't do the other things. And so that's kind of this next step in the process. You're getting some benefit and some savings there potentially, but again, it unlocks more. And then you have carving out PBM. You know, New Jersey saved $1.6 billion over the first 3 years for their state employee health plan. Caterpillar hasn't seen overall healthcare costs go up, even though they've only tackled pharmacy because they've done such a stellar job. Pacific Steel and Recycling, they went from $8 million in healthcare spending to under $3.5 million. This was one piece of that puzzle. So some real great opportunities to save. Again, another step in that process. And then we get into value-based primary care. There's some challenges in terms of availability. Some build it themselves, like Rosen Hotels. And just to give you an idea of the sustainability of this, they've been doing this for close to 25 years. They've cumulatively saved $400 million compared to their benchmark competitors. You know, this pipe trades union, this is all they've done is proper primary care. They haven't seen overall healthcare costs go up in a decade. They've got 16,000 members. But it kind of like the infrastructure, it's also what this unlocks. There's some direct savings because half of ER visits are non-emergent. And so they can be addressed in primary care, things like that. Again, we go into a lot more in the book, but just give you a quick thumbnail sketch. All these organizations, by the way, other than the union, which just did the one step, they have, they're spending literally half of what their benchmark competitors are. Bennett's a school district. These are a couple of hotel companies. That's what's possible if you stick at it year after year after year. And Bennett's relatively new. Rosen's doing it for 25 years. Gasparillo, I think 3 or 4 years. So it kind of varies, right? Based on how aggressive you get. So another step in that step stair process. And then the final step, this is the one where you've really got to be thoughtful about it. But there's the risk return. We'll get into that, right? So what are some of the challenges and opportunities to do it right? And these are organizations I mentioned, Pacific Steel. Again, bunch of case studies in the book and things you can look into like centers of excellence if you want to know more detail. But this is where, again, the biggest savings can come in, but you also have to be the most thoughtful about it. And so the important thing is you realize all this incremental benefit if you take this step stair approach that we really believe in. And so with that, want to transition to the discussion with Dan Marine Towing. So we've got the CFO, Christopher Dan, with us. We've got Don Nichols, who's the HR director. And then we have Ben Bohanowitz, who is one of the Health Rosetta advisors, who's kind of, or not kind of, he has definitely been their consultant and guided them through the process. And so let's switch over to that. I'm gonna stop my screen share and start asking, maybe just to begin with, if you could all just give a little bit of background on the organization, kind of where you're at in the journey, and kind of hit some of the high points, and then we'll transition to some of the questions specific to the kind of step stair that I took everybody through. So give me a little idea of the organization, the size, a little background on what you've done on this journey.
So I'll start and then I'll pass it over to Donna. We're a medium-sized company. We have about 185 employees. And we've, you know, prior to going down this journey, as you call it, we've been, you know, we've done the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Aetnas of the world. And that was how we'd handled our health insurance for decades. And really just at their mercy, so to speak, going year after year with obviously increases. Very rarely do you ever see that they want to come back and say, oh, you're doing wonderful and let's give you a decrease. Even if you are doing wonderful, you're not going to get that benefit. So we're a tugboat company based in Maryland, but our employees are throughout the country. So that's always been a bit of a challenge as far as communications and because they don't report to Maryland. They report to their vessels and their, so we don't have the luxury of bringing groups of employees in to present them new opportunities, so whether it's health insurance or whatever. So it's always been a challenge for us to get, even with, and Donna can speak more to this, but the, you know, renewals, you know, everything is now remote, electronic, you know, you're dealing with these guys that are living all over the country. But this, and again, Donna will get into a little bit more of this, but going to the self-insured route was something that was presented to us years ago, and we just were a little apprehensive and didn't think it was worth the risk. And then Ben and his group came in a few years ago and tried to push it again. And it was worth the risk this time because the health insurance costs were getting so high that you really didn't have much to lose by stepping out on this limb and giving it a shot. And so far, knock on wood, it's worked out well for us. The savings are there. The opportunities to save more are there. But we've always taken the approach, you know, let's take baby steps. Let's get in, let's get our foot in the door, see how this is going to go. You can't shove things down employees' throats. You can't inundate them with so much at one time. You have to do it step after step. So every year the program changes, but it's not drastic changes. It's moderate changes that they can grasp and continue to reap the benefits from this program. And the benefits, like I said, we have saved quite a bit of money over the years, and we're able to keep our employees' contributions flat. Whereas before, we were really forced over the years with all the increases that took place with Blue Cross Blue Shield or whoever we were with at the time, you really didn't have a choice but to pass some of those increases on to the employees. And the way that the program is now, that over the last number of years, we haven't had to increase the employee benefit at all, or excuse me, the employee contribution at all. So Donna, you want to chime in?
Sure. So I've been with Dan Reen about 3 years and had been with a larger employer in self-insurance market for a long time prior to that. But I was skeptical, I got to say, that a smaller employer would be able to make the switch to self-insurance, I will say, and had never heard of reference-based pricing until I got here. So, but it just as Christopher said, it's been a great transition. When things have not gone so well, we've been able to work with Ben and get things straightened back out again. Communication, of course, is the key. As Christopher said, we really don't have access to our employees other than by email most of the time. And the schedules that they work, it's difficult to communicate a new benefit or a change to a benefit to them. So not to belittle the fact that they're also throughout the US. And so finding providers and in-network solutions is always, you know, been difficult. I think in the 3 years though, as Christopher said, the fact that we have not had any increases for employees to have to bear, and not to mention that the company cost has been somewhat flat, has been a major benefit to having the reference-based pricing model and self-insurance. So it's been a good 3 years.
Great. Thanks, Donna. Ben, what's your vantage point?
Yeah, it was, you know, being the deliverer of bad news to Don and Christopher, like most other organizations, gets a little, it's tiresome. It's tough to do. And, you know, there was definitely a lot of interest on the side of Dameron Towing to see what else is out there. And as most people know, they're on the call. If you're working in that fully insured market, there's really only about four options that you have, and all of them either result in changing carriers, changing networks, raising deductibles, or raising employee contributions. And we had kind of exhausted those options to where we were at that threshold of being able to afford it. And so, you know, it was a good journey for us. It was a good starting point in conversation. I think a lot of the things that Dameron Towing does in other aspects of their business in terms of understanding costs, managing those costs, even things they do on the workers' comp and PNC side translated to what we were going to try to do on the employee benefit side of really understanding what our costs are, the price of services and how we fund those healthcare expenses. It translated well. So it obviously was a big challenge the very first year. As Christopher and Donna both mentioned, we've been able to kind of understand where there's pain points within the program, modify to that to hopefully infuse better benefits, understanding, provide resources and services that enable this to run better, especially when employees have issues or need navigation. So overall, it's been a very, very successful thing for us in terms of Dameron Towing and how that's translated down to their members and their overall costs.
Great. Yeah, I know I think it's interesting, you know, as we're speaking to employers on this this webinar, two of the things that I say to people that are probably the most surprising, but is based in fact, is that one is, I'll say healthcare is not expensive. What's expensive is profiteering and price gouging and administrative bloat and fraud, because clinicians are only getting 27 cents of every dollar ostensibly spent on healthcare. You think about that. They're the primary value creators and they're getting 27 cents. We've known for a long time, Institute of Medicine, PwC, that a third to a half of healthcare dollars are wasted. And so that's a lot of what we're doing is you have the countermeasures. The kind of related point I have a chapter in the book about is that healthcare costs have been flat. You think about it, doctors and nurses aren't getting paid fundamentally different, as I just alluded to. It's not like sutures and implants are fundamentally different price. About the only thing that's really gone up is specialty drugs, which isn't a huge percentage of the spend. I'll say prices are flat in the real market. In the real market, which we're talking about here, has really exploded. Whereas direct contracts, there's reference-based pricing, high deductibles, there's a cash pay market. And there's strong data that when you go into that side of the market, which I call the real market, prices haven't gone up 5 to 10 years. And so that's what we're starting to tap into. And it really is an interesting challenge. And if you go back, you can speak to it from both perspectives. Christopher, Donna, if there was early in this journey, was there something that was shared with you where it was kind of the aha moment where I was like, huh, like that is not what I've heard before. Was there something said, or do you even remember, what was that kind of thing that sort of triggered that mindset shift, if you will?
But at the end of the day, it comes down to how the employees are going to be treated. You know, health insurance, I don't care who you ask. I mean, you guys are in the business, we're not, and I can't stand it. I mean, it's just, it's not a fun topic to have to deal with. Sorry. But at the end of the day, it's so important because your employees are relying on it. Their families are relying on it. So, you know, we were really, and Donna alluded to it earlier, the in-network, out-of-network, finding providers that are going to accept it. That was the scariest part for us. You know, obviously anybody can go in with Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's well known. Well, you're moving away from that well known to an unknown, but at the end of the day, and Donna can probably, you know, count the cases on one hand of how many problems there have been, true problems. I mean, yes, there are, you know, the occasional, you know, not being able to find someone that's in our network, so to speak. But it's been few and far between. But the aha moment, really, it comes down to dollars and cents. I mean, that's the aha. I mean, when you look at where we were with our previous insurance and where we are today, even, and our numbers have grown. I mean, our participants have grown. And the savings is astronomical.
Yeah, I would say the interesting thing for me was, I mean, you switch over to this, you know, very different benefit January 1. And so you're kind of waiting, you know, for the shoe to drop or, you know, something to happen or, you know, an employee to call in with a problem. And nothing really happened for several months because, you know, people aren't necessarily procuring medical services, you know, immediately. So when they did start to happen, as Christopher said, although they were somewhat few and far between, it made us realize maybe we hadn't communicated well, you know, about finding in-network providers or, you know, how reference-based pricing worked. I think we all know you can communicate and communicate and communicate. People don't hear it until they need to hear it, right? So, you know, so once those things started to crop up, then we worked to find solutions to the problem. And I think we found some very good solutions early on. You know, as Christopher said, we had a few problems we had to deal with because they'd already procured those services through someone who maybe wasn't going to negotiate a lower rate. And so we had to, as a company, decide, as Christopher said, how we're going to treat our employees. It was a huge transition. We worked through, you know, paying some additional money on those balance bills initially, and now we're more so working towards gearing, you know, getting them set up to know where they need to go, you know, for services and who do they call to find that out, you know, so setting up concierge services and one number calling so that they can, you know, get a result that's better than it had been, you know, initially. And again, not everybody procures those services, you know, that are expensive, you know, every year or hopefully not very often. So, you know, when a family member has to have a service done, it may be the first time they've ever had to use services to that, you know, in a hospital setting or something. So, you know, it's just a continual communication to let them know who they need to get a hold of to make sure they get the best benefit and the best cost for them and the company.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really is striking to me is when you have a serious medical thing, you know, that is, you know, there's sort of a medical hurricane that's hit your life or you're, you know, having to climb Everest metaphorically. And like, I wouldn't think about climbing Everest without a Sherpa. And so that's one of the things I've seen work quite well is these people call them concierge. There's, you know, member champion, there's these different terms. Like if you can do that prospectively before the service is provided, then the balance bill issues go away. And, you know, just picking up on a point that Chris Romain terms the AHA. We had an earlier webinar with the CFO of Pacific Steel, and I actually went back. We didn't talk about it on that webinar, but afterwards, you know, I sort of roughly could guess what their revenues are, a private company, given the number of employees, et cetera, et cetera. And given that type of cost savings and their margin and being a, you know, pretty slow growth company, you know, he said they would have had to have increased top line sales revenue 25 to 30% to have the same bottom line impact that they'd had on this. And one of the things that it actually came up yesterday, you know, because sometimes there's this this conversation around disruption, and somebody, I think, kindly introduced me at this event as a disruptor. And I said, you know, I've got to take issue with that introduction. To me, what disruption is 20 years of wage stagnation and decline for the working and middle class because of health benefits. What disruption to me is, we're the undisputed world leaders in medical bill-driven bankruptcy, and 70% of those people have insurance. What's disrupted to me is record levels of burnout and even suicide amongst clinicians. What we're trying to do is just restore the American dream, and in some ways restore to what our healthcare system was at one time. And so maybe just continuing this dialogue, Ben, you talk to employers all the time. We're speaking to a bunch of employers now. What do you find tends to be the thing that kind of turns light bulbs on, where people have been told one thing for so long that gets them to say, oh, wow, there's another option? Is it dollars and cents obviously matter? Are there particular things that you see work well?
I think in some cases there are a level of employers that understand or that realize price is a big driving factor to that. You know, when you start to peel some of the curtain back on how, you know, a fully insured model really works and what the disadvantages are and how that purchasing experience doesn't really leave any flexibility or choice. And then when you start to walk them down the path of saying, hey, if you do this on your own, the idea of it being scary and not feasible really isn't the case. You know, there are some really, really unique things that can happen when you take on the liability of being a self-funded employer, where you're not just purchasing insurance, you're actually getting involved in deploying better benefits that may not necessarily be better benefits in terms of co-pays or deductibles, being able to offer things like primary care or other services or programs like early detection of cancer care, things that along these lines that are really incredibly valuable when you are creating a benefits program that goes so much further than purchasing insurance. So we have more and more conversations with employers that are around those things, as well as cost itself. And, you know, benefits and insurance is really a unique paradigm in the sense that, like any other commodity you may purchase or any other professional service that you may engage with, in most cases, the more you spend, the higher level of service or quality that you receive. And healthcare is the exact opposite. Or in most cases, the less you spend, in most cases, the better it is. And so when you start to unwind that and employers begin to see, wow, there is really an opportunity for us to save costs and improve benefits, it's not just purchasing insurance, there are a lot of really, really great things that come out of that. More and more employers are turning towards that direction.
You know, in terms of how you did that, so there's a self-funding stage, obviously working with you. What other things have been done in terms of, are you working with a carrier as the claims processor, or are you using an independent TPA? What are you doing around like pharmacy procurement? Kind of curious on some of those things.
I think it's all different based on the employer. We have some employers that are not specifically tied to any individual network. We have some employers that are. Some employers are extremely partial to Blue Cross Blue Shield, never want to leave. So we have some flexibility with Blue Cross Blue Shield to be creative under their self-funding platform with different PBMs, different medical management solutions, different abilities to carve certain pieces out of the plan. So we can work with what looks like a Blue Cross Blue Shield or another well-known network or TPA and achieve some of the same results in the first LOCA. But to Dan Marine's towing, you know, really what we were looking for is a solution that was going to provide the most amount of savings for us. And in that sense, reference-based pricing really did present that opportunity for us. You know, it was savings we had by reducing their deductible from $2,500 to zero, savings in what we were paying to simply be on the plan and procure that risk and pay claims. So it really is employer by employer as to kind of what their openness is to kind of aim creating or allowing disruption to an existing network. But we have a wide range of clients that use independent TPAs, that use carrier owned TPAs, that like to work. We don't have too many clients that like to work with the big PBMs of the world when you can kind of say, hey, if you can get the exact same result and work with the same exact pharmacies, but pay significantly less. We haven't had any employer say no to that.
So maybe for this conversation, let's just focus in on Dan Marine Towing in terms of what's going on with the TPA and drug procurement. What's happened
there? Sure. We had looked when we were evaluating options. We had moved. We had very limited data. First, let me start with that. We had very limited data coming from a fully insured arena. Basic PHM, our population health metrics, basic details about some high cost claimants, but really not as much data as you would want when you're looking for a true self-funded opportunity. We worked with a TPA, an independent TPA on the West Coast that had a very good reputation in terms of the ability to reference-based pricing and do it well. They were knowledgeable with it. They had clients that were doing it for many years prior to this. We had worked with a preferred PBM of them the original year that we had started. And so we got the first year under our belt. We took a look at a different PBM option that was going to provide some more advantages to us in terms of transparency, rebates, flexibility of the formulary, things of that nature. And we ultimately ended up changing that PBM. But by and large, the first TPA that we went to was independent. We stayed with them. We've gone through some changes of their acquisition, but if things have continued well, we've been able to source stop loss in a much more easier way with full unfettered access to claims. But we took Dan Marine Towing's approach and kind of dove right in. Christopher says we kind of take baby steps in introducing employees, but to things now, we certainly do as the program's gotten off the ground and we've looked to make tweaks there. We haven't tried to make massive changes. It's been incremental as we moved along, but it was definitely a pretty big move to go from a fully insured carrier owned option to an independent TPA with reference-based pricing. Yep. So it was very much a dive right in.
Great. Maybe this question for Donna, like, can you just walk us through a little bit now? You have this concierge service. So, somebody has some issue. What is the process like, that they go through that might be different than what they did before?
Well, truly, I mean, like I said, they have a one-stop shopping. So, they have the phone number, obviously it's on their card, but they usually call in or, need some assistance with that. And they call that concierge and they have access to all of our benefits. We've had them just since this past January. And they find the doc, they find the facility or whatever is needed. And we've had some excellent feedback. They work directly with the TPA that Ben mentioned. It's been an excellent addition. I think one of the things people still struggle with, even us, is that we're used to our doctors telling us, you need XYZ done, go here to get that done. And we just go there, whether it's in our network or not in our network, or whether it's going to be covered at 100% or not. So, the fact of that we have to now shop for insurance, really, to get the best benefit is still somewhat foreign to employees when they come from the Blues, and they have Blue Cross on their card. And they're used to just going wherever they want to go. Having that concierge service, like I say, they do all the legwork then for the person. They know our plan, they know what you're gonna pay, they tell you up front what you're gonna pay if you have a copay for a service. They know that the person, the facility takes, has availability to take, their services. I mean, so everything's done for the employee or the spouse or whoever's procuring the services. And people have just been happy to have somebody to do that for them, you know, just, you know, usually it may be a situation where it's not a very comfortable situation. They're going through, you know, a diagnosis of some sort or surgery. So they're happy to have somebody just kind of tell them where do I go? What do I do? You know, and what do I say when I get there, you know, as far as the card or whatever. So it's been a positive experience for us.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, probably particularly resonate with Christopher that, you know, the traditional insurance card, particularly when you're self-insured, a good way to think of it is unlimited corporate credit card, you know, that, you know, it's interesting, you know, companies that they wouldn't, you know, say, hey, you know, you got a business trip, stay at the Ritz, you know, or, you know, empty out the mini, you know, fridge and all of that. And it's interesting. I've seen companies that, you know, pay sight unseen some $100,000 medical bill and they'll reject a $76, you know, expense report because they're missing a restaurant receipt. It's like, wait a second, the dollars are dollars, you know? It is one of these things that at the end of the day, there's a pot of money that companies have for compensation and benefits. And, you know, it's not that employers have been stingy the last 20 years or spent a lot more money on employees than they did 20 years ago. The problem is healthcare ate it all up, at least for the working middle class. So it's great to see what you're doing. Have there been any, I mean, obviously there's privacy concerns and all that, but through this process, have there been any interesting stories that people have volunteered, you know, in terms of what that's meant for them in terms of now that you have a different benefit, whether it's with the concierge or cost or whatever, have there been any notable stories that come to mind?
I mean, we've certainly, like I say, have had some rough claims that we weren't aware of until the claims, you know, come through that we've really had to work through on the other end, but I can't really think of one that stands out to me that we haven't been able to resolve, I guess, you know, in one way or the other.
How about on the positive side, which is kind of what I was getting at? Have there been any positives through this?
I think the positive thing is we did a survey probably 1 year in, I guess, after the first year of reference-based pricing and self-insurance. And, you know, we were getting some feedback from employees that was pretty negative. And thankfully we had the contact information was something they had to provide. So once you actually talk to the employee and work through some of those, it really, there really, as Christopher had said early on, there really were just a few situations where they had a lot of out-of-pocket costs that we, again, weren't necessarily aware of initially. That we were able to resolve for them. But the feedback, I gotta say, most of the time, the fact that we have no deductible is unheard of in today's work. You know, I love being able to tell new hires, you know, this is our benefit plan. And oh, by the way, you don't have to meet a deductible first before you use it. I mean, it's just, as I said, something very unusual in today's insurance world. So.
Yeah, I think latest figures I've seen is the average deductible is well over $2,000.
Right.
You know, on top of having, you know, the family of four premiums are over $20,000 as well.
Right.
So you're spending all that money and then you still have the added deductible costs. Christopher, from your standpoint, have there been any things that have bubbled up to you?
Well, I think, you know, Dave, you just said it. And Don alluded to it as well. I mean, hiring in our industry anyway, hiring is a challenge. I mean, it's a specialized industry with the mariners that we bring in to work on the vessels. And you have to have, because we're all drawing from the same pot of employees. And everyone's trying to jockey and try to lure them from other competitors, not necessarily from other industries. So you have to have those benefits that really are eye openers to set you apart. And I think really over the last couple of years, this has set us apart as far as, like Donna said, I mean, to be able to say, you know, we have it's a zero deductible health insurance plan, is huge. That's an eye opener that gets the prospective employee's attention. I think the other thing that, you know, we haven't really touched on too much, but you did mention it's more transparent. You see, being self-insured, you see the details. Whereas prior to with Blue Cross, you didn't really know anything. You just knew what the bottom line is, and with Blue Cross handout every month, and you were just, you know, you couldn't look into the details of anything. You couldn't question anything. You couldn't attempt to mitigate the damages, so to speak. Whereas now we've got opportunities and a different avenue to be able to go in and negotiate and try to work through different difficult situations and work with the employees direct, you know, and guiding them, because now you know who the employee is, you know what their condition is, and you're able to go out and work through those issues with them. And there hasn't been, Donna, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there hasn't been really any pushback as far as, you know, privacy issues or anything like that. I don't know of any. Do you, Donna?
Donna, you're on mute still.
Sorry. Obviously we're not speaking to them directly about their situation, but they're calling us because they've got, you know, a balance bill or a situation that comes up. But no, that hasn't been an issue. But as Christopher said, it's helpful to know, you know, more detail in the self-insurance world as to what you're dealing with for the whole class of our employees, right? To try to put things in place that may help to resolve some of the comorbidity issues that people are having. And I would say telehealth has been a big addition for us too, of course, just because even on the vessels, you know, these guys work out there for 30 days at a time and they're not home with their families, you know, for those 30 days. And so if they get a minor ailment or medical condition, I think back to your positive stories kind of thing, we've had a lot of employees that have really been appreciative that benefit is available to them, so that they don't have to get off or miss work or whatever due to some type of minor medical issue.
Yeah, great. I mean, I think one thing that's a good indicator of how upside down the industry is during COVID, the Wall Street returns weren't enough for the carriers, which had been three times the level of the S&P by comparison. They've had just incredible record profits because they're still collecting premiums in the fully insured world, but not paying out. And so at the same time, like independent primary care docs are having to shut their doors, who should be on the front lines of you know, something like a pandemic, and of course, more broadly. So I think it gives you an idea of just how upside down the industry has become. And so, you know, kudos to you. We've been curating some questions, but why don't we pause for a minute, and we'll work in a few more questions, but wanted to have my colleague, Melissa Taylor, give you a little bit of an overview of an employer program that we have. So Melissa, why don't you share that, and then we'll jump back into some Q&A in the remaining minutes.
Great. Thanks so much, Dave. Can you all see my screen now?
Yep.
Excellent. So as we mentioned earlier, the employer program is for employers who want to learn more and go faster. The first step is to get an advisor like Ben, who is willing to do this, who has transparent compensation that tells you that what he is doing is aligned with where you want to go. In our employer program, what we do is provide extra resources to support you in the journey. Doing this transition has ups and downs. It can be a little bit of extra work, but as you've heard today, it has absolute benefits along the way as a result. So the first thing that we do is we actually have employer roundtables, so you can talk to your peers about what's going well, share stories, and also share lessons learned. You also get access to office hours with the Health Rosetta team just to get an independent perspective when needed. We share the Health Rosetta adoption plan to help you think through how to map out a 3 to 5 year strategy around getting your health benefits to the type of place that Dan Marine Towing and the other examples they've shared. We have an employer Q&A corner where we share common questions and debunk myths like, you can't be self-insured unless you're a large company. And, you know, as Dave mentioned, we're a 7-person company and we can still be partially self-insured. Component deep dives into all the different areas that you need and the building blocks for building these plans, a sample RFP for selecting an advisor or broker if yours isn't willing to take this journey with you, case study library, and a resource library of all the public materials we have on our website, but without the gate of give us your name and email. Once we know your name and email and you're in the program, you get full access to all of that. So really quickly, as Dave mentioned, we're launching end of this month. This is designed for people who are directly involved in the benefits purchasing process. It's best for employers who have between 50 and 5,000, although certainly the concepts work for people outside of that. It's $99 per month per person, and somebody was asking if this was per employee. No, it's per person at your firm who's in the program. So whether it's the head of HR or the CFO. We're limiting memberships this year to 50. We opened reservations on the 5th and we will be launching shortly. So if you have interest in that, healthrosetta.org/employers.
Great. Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things that we're really drawing on with that is the success we've had with the program that Ben's a part of that is now 3 years old. So we've kind of gone through a similar journey of letting a few in early on and really, you know, honing that before expanding it more broadly. And it's reflective of the fact that whether you're a benefits consultant or you're a CFO or HR professional, there's really a once in a career transition that's underway. And with that, you know, comes a demand for new knowledge and, you know, opportunity to really level the playing field. In a lot of ways, employers have kind of not been given the full picture. I think some of the people communicating with them share all they know, but typically the way the industry has been set up is the people representing themselves as representing the interests of the buyer are paid directly and indirectly by the seller, which leads to some pretty massive conflicts of interest and the lack of disclosure that I mentioned earlier. So this is a good way for people who want to explore this journey, maybe aren't ready to pull the trigger just yet. So one question that I would have for Christopher would be, if you were just going to give one bit of advice for somebody who's considering embarking on this journey, what would be that? You know, if you have more than that, it's fine, but what would be sort of the top piece of advice you'd give somebody else who's thinking about this?
Well, obviously educate yourself prior to, you know, get as much education on the topic as you can. I mean, this is a good start, but I think, you know, sitting down and studying the benefits with your broker, studying the cost analysis with your broker, and really, you know, trusting the process. But it is a risk. I mean, it's we're no different than anybody else. People don't like change. You know, you get comfortable But there's got to be a point in time where you got to step out of that comfort zone and take the risk and trust the process, because we all know this health insurance industry is out of control. There's no doubt about it. And we have to continue. And even now, you know, we're not going to sit here now that we're in it. We're not resting on our laurels and just sitting. All right, we've done it. Let's do it. Let's just sit back. We're still, every time we meet with Ben and his team, we are looking for different ways to continue to get the value out of this, because it's ever changing. So, you know, I'm the furthest from an expert in health insurance. Like I said at the very beginning, this is probably the least favorite thing I do when it comes to running this company, but it's necessary and it's very, very important. So, you know, I guess, you know, be ready to step out of that comfort zone and get as much education as you can and see how it works. I mean, to me at this point in time with the way the big health insurance companies are, you really don't have anything. There's nothing to lose, because you're getting gouged to the nth degree as it is. So, you know, Donna and I would not be on this call if we didn't think it was a benefit. You know, we've got plenty of things to do here and appreciate the time that we spent with you guys. But, you know, if this was just another, I'm trying to think of the right terminology. You know, people come to us over the years and try to sell us on snake oil. You know, that's the terminology I like to use. It's always snake oil. It comes in, everybody's got a different plan that's going to be better than what you're already doing. Well, this has proven to be not snake oil. It's the real deal. We're saving a lot of money. Employees are happy. The employees are saving money. So I don't know what else you want me to say, but
yeah, no, that's great.
Ben can send me his check later today.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and a question kind of related to that was that we guys, you know, if companies already has a broker, are you recommending they get rid of that broker in order to explore the options presented? You know, that's a decision for the company to make, but as I shared at the outset in the O in local, we make available on our site the plan sponsor bill of rights, the advisor code of conduct, the advisor compensation disclosure forms. And these are very straightforward. Nobody operating in a aligned ethical manner would have any issue honoring those, adhering to those, completing those. So if you get any pushback with your existing broker, that should be a giant red flag. And so that would be something that I would certainly start with, but it's also something where it's always good to get a second opinion in medical stuff, you know, and that's one of the things that Ben's takes advantage of the service that we offer. And one of the things we'll do is we call them plan opportunity summaries, where we kind of do a high level assessment of and sort of outline a 3-year plan. This is something we just started doing recently, and it really helps people. There's no cost to it, and helps people wrap their heads around what are the opportunities, what's ahead, and then they can make a real strategic decision, do their homework, and explore those options. As you've all mentioned, this is serious business. You want to do it right. It's often the second or third biggest cost for many companies, and certainly in the top five. So it's no different than in the area of procurement for a company from that standpoint. There was also a question around direct primary care. You know, you have the challenge of a distributed workforce, although one, you know, nice thing with direct primary care is after they establish a relationship, you know, most of the interactions with docs are telephonic, video, text, whatever. In fact, the HINT summit that I'm participating in right now that is sort of the enabling technology for direct primary care, you know, that's something that's very commonplace, right? And so maybe this is a question for Ben. What do you suggest to both sides, the employers, in terms of potentially doing something like direct primary care? And do you end up collaborating at all with direct primary care docs, particularly when there's a concentration of employees in one location? How do you look at that situation?
Sure. I'll speak to Damarine talking first. This is a solution we're looking for the upcoming year. You know, one of the challenges is we when we look at direct primary care being located in so many different states, it's hard also in some sense to work with a DPC that may be local to Damarine Towing's headquarters, but that would also have the licenses to speak with, you know, members in all different of those 50 states. So we're looking at two different solutions that are primarily virtually based that are licensed in all 50 states for this upcoming plan year. So in that sense, where it is a large multi-state employer, it's definitely easier to work with a virtual offering that is going to have that full national footprint for you to expand upon. But there are other employers that we work with that are concentrated into a local geographical area where we have reached out to DPC providers in that area to try to start that conversation. And believe it or not, people, especially companies that are self-funded and understand the dynamics of healthcare purchasing and where it can be a value and a benefit to employees while also saving the company money, DPC has been a very, very welcomed conversation. You know, we've kind of, Dave, to put a last point on that, we have had DPC providers reach out to us and say, hey, we have tried to contact local employers in our market and haven't had any benefit because it basically gets transferred over to our benefits department. Benefits department says, go talk to our broker. And whether you get in touch with the broker or not, it may be a challenge, especially for a broker who may not understand DPC and the value of it. So what I've seen best and what we've been able to benefit from is when both us and the DPC provider are talking to an employer and saying, here are the advantages of doing it and why it makes sense. So if you can find a advisor that's in your area that understands the model, that works with self-funded employers, you're gonna have a much better opportunity of getting into those employers and having a market that you're able to serve.
Great, thanks, Ben. And as we wrap up the hour, there's a survey I hope you can answer. But really just want to thank Donna, Christopher, and Ben for taking the time to do this, share your story. Congratulations on the success. I know it's an ongoing journey, but really appreciate you taking the time to share that when I know you have got a busy schedule. So thanks so much. For those people on the call, you know, we will send out a link and recording in the chat box before we wrap up. There has been some links to the things we discussed, like the employer program, the compensation disclosure, plan sponsor, bill of rights, and so on. So click on that before we wrap up. And just again, want to thank all of you for participating and hope you have a great rest of the day and a great weekend ahead. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks.